Lord, we just pray for tonight that you give us understanding from your word, that you make our just not knowledge, Lord, but wisdom and how to apply these things to our relationships, how to deal with one another, how to bind, how to mend, Lord, broken relationships, how to mend broken things that have happened in our lives. And Lord, restore the foundation in which we can make, Lord, and respond to what we faced in dealing with other believers, dealing with difficult situations. We praise you, Lord, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's to be read as a letter because it is a letter. And Paul is writing to his good friend Philemon. We read last week a very personal letter. If you go to the next slide, Mr. Bauer and Mrs. Rose, they have to go. There we go. Go to the first one, Philemon. There we go. Philemon, a very personal letter about a situation that deals with Philemon very, very directly. If you go to the next slide, it is an issue that happened in the past. Something happened between Philemon and a brother named Onesimus. Onesimus, we found his name later on in the letter, was a slave that ran away from Philemon. Philemon being a wealthy man in the city of Colossae, a very dear friend of Paul. In fact, if we read the first verse, it tells us that Philemon is our dear friend and co-worker, a co-laborer. He regards Philemon as a very dear brother. But something happened in this relationship that he had with Onesimus, and it's going to impact Philemon's life. It's going to impact his family. It's going to impact his church. It's going to impact his personal ministry. Is going to impact his own relationship with the Lord. So think about this for a moment. It's a personal letter. There's no real apostolic authority doctrine in this message. There's no prophecies. There's no great prophetic significance, you would say, in this letter. So why are we studying it? Because it deals with personal lives and personal relationships that are far more and have a greater effect on your life than knowing when is the battle of Armageddon or when is the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Those things, although interesting to a lot of people, and most people focus on that, have very little impact or have nothing to do with their lives on a normal basis. In fact, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about the Swiss franc or the euro or the blood moons or whatever it may be. There's nothing I can do about it. What can I do about it? Nothing. I can be faithful. I can respond to God's word. But where those things take place, it's in the fellowship. That's where it's going to impact all of us. In fact, if you haven't been in a fellowship setting where somebody rubbed you the wrong way, somebody just, you didn't have a good relationship with them. And how did that affect you? Probably didn't want to come to church that day. You probably didn't want to come. You probably didn't want to talk to them. You probably didn't want to deal with it. Yet Philemon is going to deal with that very same thing. Something that comes out of nowhere. And he has to deal with it. And he has to deal with it in a godly way. And therefore, Paul writes this letter. If you go to the next slide, this letter is written from Rome. This letter is written from Rome. Number one. Hey, Rome's right there. Paul was under house arrest. He was a prisoner. But he didn't let his being a prisoner become an issue. He didn't go, woe is me. He didn't kick around and go, man, this stinks. I can't believe it. I'm just going to suck my thumb and just whatever. I'm just going to not be useful. He took the time in prison to minister to God's people, those who came to visit him. He witnessed to the guards. He witnessed to anybody that would come to him. Very much part of this letter is the reason Onesimus came to the Lord, is that he witnessed to Onesimus while in house arrest. This slave running away from Philemon in Colossae. So you can figure Colossae's 500 some miles away, maybe more, from Ephesus, but a long way from Rome. Ephesus was the place where Paul had ministered for about 3 years. 3 years. Holding Bible studies, teaching in the church, a long stay in Ephesus. Out of that ministry, Philemon gets saved, goes back to Colossae, and becomes a big part of the church in Colossae. In fact, if you read verse 2, it tells you that the church met in his home. whether it was the whole church or maybe a branch of the church of Colossae, part of the fellowship met in Philemon's home. He was a big part of the fellowship, a big, intricate, influential part of the fellowship. Onesimus runs to Rome, which most slaves would do at the time because that's where to hide. Runs into Paul. We're not told how he ran into Paul. He ends up in the same house arrest. He ends up in the home where Paul is being under house arrest. And Paul begins to witness to him. Onesimus comes to Christ. And lo and behold, after getting to know each other a little bit more, Paul encouraging him, Paul teaching him, Paul exhorting a young believer, lo and behold, coincidence, Onesimus tells him that my master is Philemon. Paul would have gone, no way. I know that guy. I know that guy. And he convinces Onesimus to go back to Philemon, to go back to slavery. Think about that for a moment. That's a very difficult thing to do. They're all asked to do a very difficult task. But Philemon in this place is asked to respond in a very godly way. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in their home. What was Philemon's testimony? We're going to go read it for a few minutes from verse 4 to 7 as well. It talks about Philemon's testimony. Here's a guy who was very faithful, a man who really dearly loved the Lord and really dearly loved God's people. The moment I read about Philemon, I go, where's this guy in our church? Everybody needs a Philemon. And I realize Philemon is staring us in the mirror. Philemon is staring us in the mirror, if you think about it. That's who God wants us to be. But why aren't we like that? Well, it's a good question. It has a lot to do with how we respond to difficult circumstances. And we all have to deal with circumstances, right? We all have to face difficult circumstances, and we all respond some way and somehow. We all have to respond. Some respond very wrong. Some hopefully respond very godly. But all in all, we all have to respond in a godly way. Philemon's testimony sets the stage for something Paul says. Look at verse 21. I am confident of your obedience. Verse 21. I am confident of your obedience. I'm writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Why was Paul so confident in this guy named Philemon? I mean, you would think he knows him well. He's co-labor with them in some form or another. We don't know if Philemon was a pastor, was somehow involved in the ministry of Paul. We don't know. But he calls him a co-worker in the faith. They've worked together. In fact, look at verse 19. Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention that you owe me even your own self. Philemon came to faith through Paul's ministry. Paul is reminding him, in a godly way, you owe me. I want you to respond because your very life came because of the ministry that I had. Philemon came to Christ through Paul's ministry, very dear to Paul, very close friends. This is one of these letters that somehow the Lord wanted us to have. The Holy Spirit inspired this letter. Remember I showed you last week? Most of the New Testament didn't ask to be written, if you know what I mean. Most of the New Testament wasn't asked to be written, meaning that they were letters to friends, letters to churches, letters between people that God used to communicate his truth to us. Think about the impact. He's writing a letter to a friend, an email we would say to this day, right? But some people still write letters. A letter to a friend, and somehow, some way, God inspired those letters, those words, those very words and letters to communicate for all eternity his truth. And that's what we're learning today. This little letter between two friends becomes a very big part of our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. And by the way, we all have to face some kind of difficulty in our lives, whether it's illness, whether it's family issues. We're praying about family today. Lynette, we're praying for family. Illness, circumstances, challenging things, and you have to make decisions. You have to respond. How you respond has a lot to do with your relationship with the Lord. How you respond today, or I'm sorry, how you respond tomorrow has a lot to do with your relationship with the Lord today. How are you walking with the Lord will cause you to respond in a certain way tomorrow. This is why every day is important. Every day you walk with the Lord, because tomorrow, what are you going to face tomorrow? You don't know. Someone's phone's on. You don't know, but it's going to challenge you. You're going to make a decision, and how you're walking with the Lord today will cause that decision to be a good response to that decision, or a godly response, or a bad response, an ungodly response. But we're all going to make that decision. We're all going to have to face the challenges. Sometimes people put it off, and they just don't deal with it. They just put it off and put it off and put it off, and eventually it'll come back. Some people like to do the silent treatment. I read an article on silent treatment. Very, very interesting. I won't bore you with the details. But how some people respond with silent treatments. They just don't respond to other people, and they give them the silent treatment. Why? They're not capable or unwilling to respond to their circumstances. So we all have to deal with this. So we have to be careful of our attitudes and how to respond every day. Now, in verse 1, we're told that Paul writes this letter not just to Philemon, but to a couple of people. And not just a couple of people, they're mentioned by name, but it says the whole church. Apphia, Archippus, a fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in their house. By the way, I counted the many times the word Jesus or Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus or Lord is mentioned. So many times. This letter only has 25 verses, but from what I counted, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times the Lord Jesus Christ or some variation of his name, it's through this letter. This is a very much a Christological letter. Why? Because you'll see next week, it has a lot to do with Jesus taking our place. When you put Philemon through the lenses of the Lord, then you realize what Paul is saying is what Jesus did for us. Very much Onesimus and Philemon, that relationship and the relationship with Paul, it's a lot to do with the Lord. But over 8 times this is mentioned, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, Christ Jesus. Very, very fascinating. If you go to the next slide, Serge. Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. The word Philemon comes from his name literally means friendly, but it comes from the word phileo, which Philadelphia, brotherly love. He was a man that lived up to his name, brotherly love. That's what he was about. And he loved the brethren so much so that it's involved in so many parts of the ministry. We'll read it in verse 4 to 7, but he was a man that had gone back to Colossae. That's where he worked. That's where he lived. And he began to be part of the church. He's called a fellow laborer. And he is a man that's counted on to bear much fruit. He's counted on to bear much fruit. Now, some people said Philemon was a pastor of the church. He was probably an elder. We don't know, but he was involved in the ministry quite a bit. And the fact that Paul says that he's confident tells you a lot about this man. This man had some really deep relationship with the Lord and deep relationship with the believers. And I started asking myself this, would somebody make that claim about me or about you? I'm confident that whatever decision comes tomorrow, you're going to respond in a godly way. Can we say that about you? I'm confident, Ronnie, that whatever comes up tomorrow, no matter what it is, no matter what you hear, no matter what throws in your face, you're going to respond in a godly way. I wish I could say that about me. Now, we can, if we're walking with the Lord in a right relationship with him, will our response be godly? It should. What if it's not in a, what if our relationship with the Lord is not right? It's not in good standing. If there's sin in our lives, unconfessed sin, walking in hypocrisy, do you think that that's going to affect your decision tomorrow? Yeah. You see why there's a lot of problems in a church where you're faced with somebody stepping on your toes, maybe literally, but perhaps in a different way. And you don't respond well. Why? Lack of fellowship with the Lord. Lack of a good relationship with the Lord. And not only are you going to be affected, but look what other people are going to be affected. This letter not only was written to Philemon, but look at Apphia. It says, our dearly beloved sister, Apphia. Some people believe that's Philemon's wife. We don't know. However, she is a dearly beloved sister. She's part of the church, part of the fellowship. And if she is Philemon's wife, do you think she's going to be affected by the decision Philemon makes? Absolutely. Do you think her attitude will affect Philemon? Yeah. I mean, if you're married, your wife, my wife, is going to affect how you respond to any decision. Negatively, you know, in a wrong way, or in a godly way. Now, this is to be read to the church. This was probably given to Philemon by Tychicus, gave this letter to the Colossian church. The letter to Colossae was taken at the same time that this letter to Philemon was written and taken at the same time. Tychicus is in Colossians 4, it tells us he delivered the letters. He delivered the letters, but he also delivered a man. Onesimus came with him. That's a challenging thing, isn't it? When somebody has wronged you, somebody backstabbed you, somebody did something to you in such a hurtful way, and now you're asked to take him back. Not to push him away, not to ignore him, not give him the silent treatment. We're so good at that, isn't it? Now it says, the article that I read, it says, women are more capable of giving a silent treatment than men. Maybe true. I've seen men do that, though. It's not one-sided. Is she going to respond in the right way? Well, this letter is written to Philemon, but it's to be read by, if it's his wife, because she's going to be affected by this. She is going to have to deal with this and respond in the right way. Now, another man is mentioned, Archippus. He's a fellow soldier. In the book of Colossians, we're told that, let's turn there really quick. Colossians 4, so you could read it. Just a little bit to the left. Colossians 4, we're told something about this man, Archippus. Verse 17 of chapter 4. And tell Archippus to pay attention to the ministry which you have received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. Take heed to the ministry. Archippus was a man who, his name is in both letters, Colossians and Philemon. Some people believe, and it could be true, that what Paul was referring to the ministry was that Archippus was the elder or the pastor, at least of maybe the Colossian church or maybe the Laodicean church, which was not too far from Colossae. But if he is the pastor, if he is involved in the ministry, which I know he is, he's also going to be affected by this. Philemon's decision, respond godly or respond ungodly, will affect another man, Archippus. But not only him, by the way, Archippus, he's called a fellow soldier. This was very unique because Paul likes to use the idea of soldiers when referring to being in ministry. Paul told Timothy that he was a good soldier. Be a good soldier for the Lord. Endured hardship for the Lord. Be faithful to the one who enlisted you. And like being a good soldier, you know, if you've been in the army, you don't have any rights anymore. You're just called to do what you're called to do, and you're to do it faithfully, and you're called to do it besides your feelings and emotions about how you feel about your superior. You're to do it. And so he's to understand that Archippus is a fellow soldier, a fellow man of God, and his response is going to affect a lot of people. But look what it says. This is also to the church that meets in his house, the house of Philemon, verse 2. The whole congregation can be affected by this. And this is so true. I mean, let's say, not to name names, somebody here has an issue with somebody else here. And, you know, could be Lynette, it could be any one of us. what's that? Oh, what you do now, yeah. Her attitude toward another believer in this fellowship will be felt by all of us. It will. Amen. Yeah. It will be felt by all of us. How she responds to this woman or this brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord is going to bring either a division in the fellowship, either a awkwardness. Hey, I'm friends with her, but I'm friends with her. And then they're both fighting. Who do I say hi first? If I say hi to her first, he's going to think I'm with the, you know, I just don't know what to do. Yeah. But because we're the same family, and this is taking it a step further, because we're the same family, same faith, same baptism, same Lord, same Spirit, right? The Bible tells us that. We are to seek to honor God in how we respond to our relationships. It's a huge part of it. If we don't honor the Lord in our relationships, it tells us a lot more about our walk than it is about their walk. And the church is to be together, encouraging each other to have right responses. If Priscilla and Greg are not doing well today, not that it's not a word of wisdom or anything like that, and you can go to them and say, hey, I noticed you guys are not sitting together. What's going on? Well, you know, whatever, stay away, we don't need you. They say, no, I really want to pray for you. And you really... you know, you really show that you love them and you want to pray for them and you sort of want to bring them together. Now you say, well, that person maybe, that's too much for me. I don't want to get involved. Well, being in a fellowship is part of being involved in each other's lives. That's just the way it is. You know, if you don't like that, then I guess people like going to huge, giant churches for that reason. Just because they don't want to meet anybody. They don't want to know anybody. They just want to come in and get out. And they've done what they're supposed to do. The time card has been punched, and they've done what they're supposed to do. But they've never grown in any way, in any area. And the next time there's an issue in their lives, they're not going to know how to respond in a godly way. But we're to be together and encouraging each other how to walk, how to grow, how to share the Lord with the unsaved. I mean, that's a beautiful part of our fellowship, isn't it? How to, you know, hey, somebody, I met this guy. I don't know how to witness to him. Somebody say, hey, I know, I used to be like that guy. Here's how you tell him. You tell him this. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go with you to meet this guy and share my testimony with this guy. Wouldn't that be neat? I mean, I don't know if anybody here was, you know, whatever, X something. Every one of us was an X something, right? No? X sinner, X hypocrite, X whatever. You know, every one of us. And every one of us has met somebody that used to be like us. And sometimes the testimony of another brother, it speaks to that person more than my testimony. I can take Roy along and say, hey, Roy was a big sinner, just like you. Here's one sinner to another. Why don't you talk to each other? And in grace, of course. But how to grow, how to walk with each other, even how to help each other in dealing with hard situations. I mean, you guys have issues with family? Issues with family? Anybody have issues with family? No. I don't want to say. Okay.
There's a perfect remedy for that.
Yes.
My family's dead.
Won't ask how that happened, but yeah.
You live longer than your family,
peace. All right. Not all of us are that lucky. But how do you deal with it then? You know what? Every one of us that experienced, move from California, okay. Hard situations. Somebody here can help and deal with that situation, isn't it? Those who have struggled in their marriage can be a good comfort and a good word of encouragement to those who are struggling in their marriage. Or at least a prayer partner. Somebody can pray with one of the guys, you know, men with men praying together, women with women praying together. For their spouses, for the unbelieving spouse. Those are the things that a fellowship has to do. But when right relationships are in place, this happens. But how do we respond? That's one of the hardest part about this. Now, verse 3 kind of tells us the answer. Grace and peace from God. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace needs to be so much in a fellowship and peace that only He can bring in order to deal with relationships like this. I mean, it's such a tender and difficult issue that as we're talking about, everyone has something in mind, someone in mind, something that happened, something that it is happening, and we need to respond. Whether it's sickness, whether it's our own sickness or family sickness or whatever it may be, right relationships, wrong relationships. Look at the fruit of Philemon. Let's go to the next slide. The fruit of Philemon. The fruit of Philemon in verse 4 to 7. It says, I always thank my God when I mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is a constant thing in Paul's writings. Now, he's not copying and pasting. Just like, well, I said this. It sounded nice. I'm going to click it here. He was really thankful for Philemon's life. When he thought of Philemon, it just was a thankfulness. I wonder what people think when they think of me. They pray. Or they pray, oh, thank the Lord. Or, oh, man, we need to go into fasting and praying for this man. But he was very much a man that was thankful for Philemon. Now, it wasn't just like, well, Philemon, as long as he's good, I'm going to be thankful for him. No, he was a man that really loved the Lord. Look what it says in verse 5. Because I hear of your love and of your faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all his saints. This is faith and love toward the Lord and all his saints. He was a man that was trustworthy and was a man that was committed to bringing honor and glory to the Lord. That was Philemon. That his relationship with the Lord caused him to be trustworthy to such an extent that his life was about the Lord and his life was about the believers in his life. That's a pretty good fruit in someone's life, isn't it? If your life is about the Lord, you seek to glorify the Lord, and you seek the well-being of other believers. If you walk like that, oh man, this fellowship would just be blossoming in growth and in goodness. Why? Because that's what believers are to glorify God and seek the goodness for each other's, the good for one another. We should seek to encourage and bless one another. And look what he says. He did all that. For all the saints, I pray that your participation in the faith may become effective through knowing every good thing that is in us for the glory of Christ. Now, this is maybe a difficult verse to translate because there's a couple of ways to translate it. I'm going to read it from the NASB. It says, I pray that that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing that is in you for Christ's sake. The fellowship of your faith. Now, what was he referring to? The fellowship of your faith? Was Philemon an evangelist? Maybe. The fellowship of your faith? The participation of your faith? It says in some translations, the participation of your faith may become effective. I think what he's referring to is that he was part of the fellowship and his faith in the Lord caused him to be a good brother among the believers. He was such an effective brother because of his fellowship, the fellowship of the faith. And he was effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in Christ, which is in you for Christ's sake, which is in you for Christ's sake. The things that we do are for Christ's sake. The things that we do in this fellowship are to honor the Lord. Yeah. It's part of it, absolutely. The effectiveness. Yeah, the effectiveness, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Part of the growth. The fellowship of your faith. Fellowship of your faith. How do you become effective in this fellowship? How do you become effective? Anybody? How are you become effective? How have you become effective? Studying? Effective, okay. Okay, yeah. Your gifts and callings. How many of you guys here have the gift of hospitality? Right? Gift of hospitality. Gift of mercy. I mean, you always think of the other gifts. You know, everybody wants to focus on tongues and all kinds of stuff, but it's like, it's so needed. The gift of hospitality. I mean, if we brought a family here that had traveled, I don't know, some 100 miles to come to church on a Sunday. They did just, okay, we're not going to treat them like they just came to church and, okay, go home, have a good night. We probably want to spend time with them. They have a long road back. They made it all the way here to be with us. They're tired. Somebody refresh them. Somebody, you know, but somebody with the gift of hospitality. Now, we're all to be hospitable. I'm not I'm not saying that guy needs to do it or only him needs to do it, only her, but all of us together. But that person that has the gift of hospitality has the gifting of the Lord to do it so effectively, much better than me, much better than those who don't have that gift. But we all need to be hospitable. Imagine Philemon was that kind of guy. He was effective in the church. Why? He really loved the Lord. That was his heart and mind, was to please God always. Now, he was not perfect, but he was a man effective in the ministry. How are you effective in this fellowship? How are you being effective? How have you been effective? How will you be effective? And remember, the foundation is a right relationship with the Lord, an ongoing relationship with Christ, and a good relationship with other believers, that you seek to have good relationships with other Christians. Not just ignoring them, not just giving them the silent treatment, but really wanting to be part of their lives, part of the fellowship, part of being effective. It's that. And it's all for Christ's sake, so that the Lord will be glorified, so that the Lord would be glorified. And by the way, for Philemon to do that, he had to be surrendered to God's will. He had to be surrendered to God's will and seek after the glory of the Lord. This is why Philemon bore much fruit. He was a man that was simply looking to glorify God. When we come to our fellowship, Sundays, Wednesdays, whatever it may be, we're to seek the glory of the Lord. But not only that, we're to bear much fruit by the right relationships we have with other believers. Now, what if there's no right relationship at the moment? There's some difficulties. Well, there's a difficult thing that Philemon is going to do, and that it's going to challenge his growth. And we're all going to be challenged in our growth. Remember, we talked about it last week? We're bearing fruit, and the Lord prunes us, and we feel like, what happened? So we can bear much fruit. All right? It's the strong believers who are tested in their faith. You are going to be tested in your faith. How is that going to respond? What's that response going to look like? It all depends if you're abiding in the Lord, if you're walking with Jesus, if you're walking in that right relationship. Now, I told you, this is dear to my heart. Hope is dear to your heart because it affects us more than anything else. How we deal with each other. Tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, it's going. If there's issues, you're not going to want to come to church or fellowship with one another, right? But how do we solve those issues? How do we solve those things before they become real bitterness, real problems, real, when our right relationship with the Lord is not, when we're not in right relationship with the Lord, then we're not in right relationship with other people. It's sin. And that needs to be confessed. It needs to be repented. It needs to be done away with so that we can walk with the Lord freely. Now, verse 7. For I have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, he uses the word agape three times, the word love, three times in this letter. Beautiful. Verse 5, verse 9, and verse 7. Great love. And he talks about that he is to have great joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed. His life was an encouragement to other believers. We should strive to be that to other believers. That's really the point of being a believer, being a Christian. It's not to be a stumbling block to other people, but really refresh other believers. When somebody's discouraged, the first place they should think about is the fellowship. Come to church. And maybe think of you. I need to talk to Phil. I need to talk to Ron, I need to talk to Roy, I need to talk to Carol, I need to talk to Gloria. I need refreshing. The idea of refreshing here is that they're so emotionally distraught or spiritually drained that when they came to Philemon, he's able to prop them up, encourage them, give them what they needed. Not only physically, emotionally, but obviously spiritual. Times of stress, times of difficulties, he's able to lift them up through the Lord. That's what Philemon was about. An amazing guy. Where is he? Where'd he go? Well, he was a source of blessings to the church. He was a source of blessings to the church. But he had a difficult task. But he had confidence, right? Paul, go back to verse 21. I have confidence. Where did that confidence come from? The fact that Philemon had a right relationship with the Lord. See, that's the thing. Tomorrow, if you're walking with the Lord, whatever comes tomorrow, I have confidence that you'll probably deal with it the right way. But to those who are not walking with the Lord, I don't know what to expect tomorrow. Maybe a phone call. I'm in jail. Come and get me, right? Or whatever it may be. You know, come pray for me. I punched this guy. Or, you know, I got fired because I cussed my boss out or something. You know, those are things that have happened, by the way. Those things I say it in a joking manner, but they've happened to me. I have to go. I had to go to jail, not personally, for someone that went to jail because the relationship with the Lord wasn't right. Their response to the circumstances wasn't right. I had to go visit him in jail, or somebody got fired from whatever. It's just, how did that happen? Wrong relationship with the Lord. Now in verse 8 and 9, this is as far as we're going to go, by the way. Verse 9. For this reason, although I have great boldness in Christ to command you to do what is right, I appeal instead on the basis of love. There it is again, agape. I, Paul, an elderly man, he was probably in his 60s, and at that time that was very, very old, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, whom I have fathered in the faith while in my chains, Onesimus. And here's going to get down to the nitty-gritty. I want you to take him back. Once he was useless to you, but now he's useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back. We'll talk about that next week. I'm sending him back. That letter arrived at the same time as Onesimus did, by the way. So Philemon had to respond. Imagine somebody who has betrayed you, who has done harm to you, and now you're supposed to take him back. Not just back as, well, he's okay, I'll take him back. He's over there on the other side of the church. I don't have to deal with him. No, Paul says he's useful now. Receive him back as a brother in Christ now. Receive him back as it would be me. By the way, we'll talk about that next week, but there's a really play on words in the word useful and not useful. I'll tell you next week what that is. It's a play on words that Paul is using regarding Jesus. We'll talk about that next week. But it's going to impact the fellowship. It's going to impact believers. Do you have the same confidence in me? I'm asking you. Do you have the same confidence in me that whatever circumstances come my way, come the fellowship's way, that I'm going to respond in a godly way? That's a question you don't have to answer, but that's a question that needs to be answered. That I would like to think that, yes, because I'm in a right relationship with the Lord and I have a fervent love for the believers here, whatever comes tomorrow, it's going to be dealt with it in a godly way, in a God-glorifying way. Can we say that about you? You. Can we say that? Well, Philemon was in that type of situation. He was faced with a difficult thing, and he had to respond in a godly way. Not just for himself, for his wife, for his fellowship, for the pastors and the elders around him. It had to be a godly decision. You know, sometimes we just say, oh, I'm just going to make a decision. And we do it in the flesh. We do it out of emotion. Or we do it because we like the guy or we don't like the guy or the girl. We don't like the girl or like the girl. We do things without really God-honoring in a God-honoring way. And we do it in the flesh and we wonder why sometimes it didn't work out. His confidence. In the book of Job, go to Job 1. Let's go there quickly. Job chapter 1. The most encouraging book in the Bible. The book of Job. It's good. Of course, I'm kidding about the encouraging. It's encouraging how the Lord works out, but sometimes people read it and they go, man, how am I going to get any joy out of this? Just keep reading. Keep reading. It'll be fine. Job 1, verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? No one on earth is like him, a man of perfect integrity who fears God and turns away evil. That's interesting. Paul said to Philemon, I'm confident, Philemon, that you're going to do the right thing. You know, we can think that people around us can can expect for us to make the right decision, but does God know that we're going to make the right decision? You know, because we can't fool him. You know, we're either in a right relationship with him or we're not. And he knows how we're going to respond. And no, I read Job 1 because how did the Lord think of Job? Have you considered Roy? Have you considered Jeff? Have you considered Susie? I mean, I don't want to hear that from the Lord to Satan. Let's not the same thing happen to me. But God knows our hearts. God knows how we're behaving. God knows how our relationship is. Is he confident in us that that decision tomorrow is going to be honoring to him? Now, of course, he knows. But does he have confidence in us? Title of the message, does God have confidence in you? Now, by the quietness of the room, we'd probably be like, I don't know if God could be confident in me tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Let's talk about that tomorrow. But can God be confident in us? He knows us. He knows our situation. He knows how we're going to respond. And he knows that maybe that's not the case. Maybe my heart's not right with him and my response will be terrible and it will not be right. Maybe dealing with family that I would rather avoid. Maybe it's a matter of just life and responding in a godly way. Maybe it's about marriage. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's dealing with singleness or issues in school, issues with life. Will you respond godly, in a godly way? Or will we respond in a natural way, with our natural impulses, natural emotions, and not committed to the Lord? And that comes from that foundation, you know. So where you stand with the Lord today is going to determine how you deal with things tomorrow. But that foundation, how you respond, has a foundation. What is that foundation? Your relationship with the Lord. Is it right? And if it's not right, don't expect your response to be right. That's the foundation. Philemon had a good foundation, didn't he? He loved the Lord. He was committed to God's will. He loved the saints, the believers. He refreshed them. He encouraged them. He was a source of blessing to them. So, of course, Paul says, I know Philemon. Paul told Onesimus, I know if you go back, he will receive you. Well, what makes you so sure? I mean, the penalty of a slave that has that escaped is death. I mean, they would crucify the slave. It was normal. Paul probably told him, I'm confident. This man really loves the Lord. This man has spent his life ministering to people, refreshing their hearts. He'll receive you. Confidence. Confidence. Why? Because Philemon had a good foundation. He had a good place to make those responses. His heart was right. He responded in a good way. But what about us? Has that foundation cracked? Has that foundation been derailed? Has that foundation non-existent anymore? That our responses are going to be so ungodly that it will never bring God glory. It'll never edify the saints until we get that right. And maybe a sin issue in our lives. Maybe it's something, you know, of an attitude towards someone, a selfish attitude, an attitude of keeping their distance from them. God knows. And that indifference toward other believers is sin. Never thought about that. But it's sin. It's our sinful actions. And it needs to be corrected. It needs to be confessed. It needs to be repented. And it needs to be right with the Lord. Otherwise, it'll hinder us from responding in a godly way. So, to finish, we're gonna take communion together. Serge is going to come and play a song for us. But it's also a time of prayer. It's also a time of getting right with the Lord. It's also a time of reflecting. How do we make decisions? How do you make decisions tomorrow? What is the basis of your decision tomorrow? Is it your emotion? Is it how you feel that day? Is it the past? Or is it the Lord? Is it the Holy Spirit influencing your heart through the Word of God, pouring in? So the decision that is made, the response, is godly. But that's what we need to do. It's not a, we can't compromise in that. It's not a suggestion. It's a real response to the Lord in godliness and sincerity. And we need to repair those foundations. Now, it may be that you need someone to help you repair those foundations. It may be that it needs to be through prayer and encouragement of other believers, how you deal with your mom, how you deal with your sister, how you deal with your brother that you can't stand, or a cousin, or whatever it may be, or your wife. And maybe you need other people to come alongside you and hold you accountable and help you pray. But see, the tendency for us sometimes is to close us off, close ourselves off, and not let anybody in, because you know, people have different excuses for it. But the idea is to help a right response, help a godly response.